I invite you to take your Bibles. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 24 as we look at a familiar passage of Scripture as Joshua addresses the people of Israel before they enter into the promised land. And last June, Dr. Randy Millwood came here and led us through a church wellness process and led us in that process to come up with three strategic questions that we needed to answer. And the first was the question of our vision. And we affirmed our vision to be Light Unleashed, a church that would serve and be a presence in the community in such a way as to draw people to Christ. And the second question had to do with discipleship, had to do with the process that we would follow that would help people to move toward being fully devoted followers of Jesus. And the deacon studied many different processes and felt that there was really no need to reinvent the wheel, perhaps just to tweak some of what was already being used in a lot of churches. And so for the next 4 weeks, I'm going to be laying out the four dimensions of discipleship that a person would do as they seek to be a more fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. And for the purposes of this series, I'm calling it the D4 process. Four words, each beginning with D, that make up the process. So decisions that you need to make to be a disciple, devotion, developing your devotion to Christ, discovering your spiritual gifts and your talents and passions, and then deploying them in missions and in ministry. So the first thing we see is that discipleship is a decision. And that brings us to our scripture for the morning. So take a look at Joshua chapter 24, starting at verse 14. As I said, the people of Israel have made it out of Egypt. They made it through the desert. They're now poised to go into the promised land. And Joshua is the one who's been chosen to lead them, and so he presents them with their choices. Now, therefore, he says, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for He is our God. Life is about decisions. You look back on your life, and as you measure it, you'll see that there are certain critical times in your life, some big life-altering decisions that you had to make. And those decisions changed the course of what happened in the rest of your life, what career you decided to pursue, what education received, where you were going to get at education, who you were going to marry, if you were going to marry, if you were going to have children, how many children you were going to have, the decision to move, the decision to buy a house, all big decisions. And most basic of all, and the one that affects our lives more than anything, is the decision to become a disciple of Jesus. You don't back into discipleship. Discipleship is not something that one morning you just kind of wake up and, wow, there it is. You aren't born into it. It isn't something that just happens. It's a decision. It's a decision that you make every single day. But it started with that big decision. And the most basic decision is the one that Joshua confronts the people of Israel with. Which God will you serve? Now, for them, that was a choice of gods. They were about to enter into a land that was already populated with people, and these people had their gods which they worshipped, and it would be tempting to follow after these other gods. And I won't go into all the reasons why the worship of these gods was so tempting, but if you know anything about the history of Israel and the Promised Land, you know that it was a great temptation. They were all the time falling away into it. This was the problem that the Israelites battled against their entire existence. And ultimately, it was a battle that they lost. Which is why they ended up scattered by the Assyrians and exiled into Babylon. They just They just couldn't follow through on that decision to follow the Lord and Him only. Now, for us, it's not generally such a stark decision. I mean, the land we live in has a lot of different religions, and it's becoming more and more religiously diverse. But most Americans aren't making a decision to follow Jesus versus follow, you know, other religions like Buddhism or Hinduism. That's not the issue for most of us. In fact, for a lot of us, the decision to become a Christian didn't really involve, you know, who or what to follow. It was really, for most of us, it was a when decision. W-H-E-N, timing. When is the most appropriate age to make that decision? I grew up in a Christian home. I know a lot of you did as well. There were Bibles in our home and Sunday school quarterlies in those Bibles. And my parents had been going to church all of their lives. And so, you know, that's what we did. We went to church. And there was never a time in my life when I didn't go to church. And in a real sense, there was never a time in my life in which Jesus wasn't a part of my life. Never really a time that I didn't know Jesus. I mean, it was like I knew Him from infancy. So for me, it never was a decision about what God I would worship, what religion that I would follow. It was just simply a matter of when I would make that decision to come forward and publicly profess my faith in Christ and get baptized and formally join the church. That was the decision for me. So I was 8 years old when, in my own heart, my own mind, I was ready to make that decision. And it wasn't because some of my friends in church were walking the aisle and getting baptized and I was afraid of being left behind, so I went with them. It wasn't anything like that. It was just that at 8 years old, in the way only an 8 year old perhaps can know, I knew that God loved me. And it just kind of overtook me one day. That God loved me, and He loved me completely, and that love was expressed in Jesus Christ. And somehow or another, I knew that I needed to respond to that love, because that's what love does. It evokes a response. And I remember I said something to my parents about getting baptized, and I was a pretty quiet kid. I never used more words than was absolutely necessary when I spoke, you know. And so I didn't really express to them the depth of what I was feeling at the time. And so they didn't really understand it, and they thought it would be best if I waited a little bit. So I did, even though I knew I was ready. And when I was 10 years old, they brought it back up to me, and I'm like, yeah, okay. And so one Sunday, I walked up front during the invitation hymn, me and my younger brother, 13 months younger than me, and we were whisked away to a back room with the deacon, and I answered all of his questions. And then a few weeks later, we were baptized. My brother and I, Greg and I, were baptized together. There was a full-grown man who was baptized along with us. I was kind of like, wow, what's your problem? What took you so long, you know? But the point is that for a lot of us, this wasn't a momentous decision. This was just kind of a natural decision, this decision to accept Christ. There was no hand-wringing. It was almost a rite of passage, you know, one of those mileposts that you go through on your way to adulthood. And to be honest with you, not a whole lot changed in my life after that. It wasn't a whole lot that needed to change. I mean, we were already going to church, we're already studying the Bible, already praying, already doing the stuff that disciples are supposed to do. So not a whole lot had to change. Now, recently I was talking to a man who that wasn't the case for him. He's a Christian now. But he's been a Christian only like 6 or 7 years. It wasn't until he was 40 that he made the decision that I made at 10 years old. He accepted Christ. And for him, it was a radical change. It was a big change in his life. Because, see, there were gods that he had to forsake. Not so much the gods of other religions, but the gods that made up his life. The gods of pleasure, the gods of wealth, the god of work and success. The gods that taught him that his responsibility and only his responsibility is to take care of himself and take care of his family, and everybody else should do the same. He's responsible for himself and everybody else is responsible for themselves. When I accepted Christ, I just had to continue along the path that I was already on. He had to take a very different path after that. A path in which his family, his circle of concern started getting larger. I mean, I always had a church family. He had never had a church family. So he had to find one. And I had always had Christian friends, but he had never really had any Christian friends. He had to surround himself with people who were themselves on this journey of discipleship. Because one of the first things that he learned is that discipleship is not a journey that you can take alone. It's a journey that you have to take with other people. And so in this discipleship process, the first decision that you have to make is that decision that you are going to be a follower of Jesus. Not just that you're going to accept Him and have your sins forgiven and get to heaven when you die, but that you're actually going to follow the guy. You're going to listen to what He has to say and do what He has to say and watch what He did and do what He did. That's the first decision. But also basic to that decision is also a decision of who you're going to do this with. Who you're going to make the journey with. It's a decision to make to be a part of a church family. It's a decision to be a part of a group of people who are walking the same journey and being in relationship with people who can help you. It's a decision to join a small group and get together for Bible study and for prayer, to support one another, to be there for one another, to encourage one another, to challenge one another when that's needed. Because it's there in that context that you learn the hardest lessons about following Jesus. Lesson about, you know, how to have grace for fellow sinners. How to forgive somebody who's hurt you. How to keep in a relationship when that relationship has turned hard because of hurt feelings and even betrayal, because those are the real lessons of discipleship. These are the things that we need to learn in order to be a follower of Jesus. Not how many books there are in the Bible or where you'll find the Sermon on the Mount or the Lord's Prayer or even how to pray, as important as all of those things are. See, those are things you can do alone. You can learn all that stuff by yourself. But it's learning how to be in relationship and in community that's the toughest thing for us to learn. And that's what Jesus needs us to learn more than anything. Now, I'll be honest, I wouldn't give my experience of coming to Christ, you know, for the one that my friend had. You know, He shakes his head at what he considers to be 40 lost years, you know. 40 years when he could have known about Jesus. 40 years when he could have been serving him. 40 years when he could have been growing in Christ. He wishes he could have those years back. Like he could have then what he has now. And I get that. I understand that. And I'm thankful that I don't have to look back and talk about lost years like that. I'm thankful for Christian parents and a Christian heritage and a Christian church and a youth minister who poured his life into me and friends, and then a Christian girlfriend who became a Christian wife, who became the Christian mother of my children. I wouldn't change a thing about any of that. But my friend, in a way, kind of has an advantage. And the advantage is that he understands that becoming a Christian and becoming a follower of Jesus Christ aren't two different decisions. They're one and the same decision. See, we tend to do that. We tend to make being a Christian, becoming a Christian, to be about, you know, what happens to us after we die, and then becoming a disciple is about what happens to us before we die. But it's not. It's all the same decision. Because it's not two lives we live, this life and the one after death. In the Christian gospel, it's our life. And so the decision to follow Jesus, the decision to accept Jesus, those are the same decision. The decision to accept Christ as your Savior and the decision to become a disciple of Jesus are one and the same decision. We have to remind ourselves that, and it's appropriate that we do so as we gather around the Lord's table. Because for Jesus, the decision to be obedient to His Father was a decision that led Him into death. It wasn't like, hey, I can be in relationship with God and then I can follow Him. It was all tied up in the same thing. Christ gave His life for us. And so as we gather around this table and we share the bread of sacrifice and the cup of forgiveness, let's take this time to recommit ourselves to the decision that we made to not only become a Christian, but to become a follower of Jesus Christ and be a follower within the context of this Christian community. We're not individuals sharing this meal. We are all family gathered around this table. And so we invite you to, as Paul says, to examine yourself and then partake as we gather around the Lord's table. Thank you.